On today's special Memorial Day edition of the Life After College podcast, we dive into our weekends and all the festivities that took place. We then wrap up segment one talking Forecastle and leaving open an invitation for someone to come on and tell us about their experience. Segment two dives into the best day of racing that included Formula One at Monaco, IndyCar at the Indianapolis 500, and NASCAR's Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte. We finish up talking NBA Finals and Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Segment 3 is the same as always, with our random question, a few recommendations, and Tyler's quote of the week. Welcome back to episode number 17 of the Life After College podcast. I'm your host, Austin Zershmi, joined again by my co-host, Tyler Brockman. Tyler, what is going on?
Man, just enjoying the long weekend. How about yourself?
Not too bad. You know, a bit of the same, hanging in there. And with this long weekend, you know, it was Memorial Day weekend. A lot of stuff going on around, you know, the city, in our own neighborhoods. Did you do anything fun and exciting this past weekend?
Got out of town, had my first lake weekend this year. So
there you go, over at Rough River.
Over at Rough River, had some good weather. Saturday was a little cloudy, but still good. Then Sunday was nice, hot, sunny. Made you want to jump in the water. So
did you stay there all the way through today?
Yeah, I came back today. Got home about noon, went into school to do a little lab work. That wasn't going well. Cut my losses in the afternoon at some point. Went over to my parents' house, had dinner with them. So
that grind don't stop, does it?
Hey, you know, long weekends doesn't mean it's relaxing. Got to travel around everywhere.
Mm-hmm. How's the arrangements over at Rough River? Are you all sharing bunk beds, one on the couch, one on the floor?
We got a queen-size pull-out couch situation. Mm-hmm. We throw a foam topper, like a 2-inch foam topper on top. It feels like it's a real bed almost.
That's probably better than what you got right now.
No, I got a queen mattress with a 2-inch foam topper on top of that.
So it's like about the same.
It's like one of those gel foam or something. It's supposed to have little gel beads in it to keep it cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it really works.
Did you end up going tubing or skiing or anything out on the water?
We went out on the boat, rode around a little bit, anchored up, tied up, had some lunch. Got in the water and stuff like that. Didn't do any tubing or skiing or anything, but enjoyed ourselves out on the water for sure.
What was your drink of choice?
Let's see. Try these new Mom waters. They're not carbonated, which I like. You know, I'm not a big carbonation guy. I think that this flavor was called the Karen. Kind of a seltzer alternative or something like that, but just no bubbles.
Right.
So similar to those
ranch water.
You know, I haven't gotten those canned ranch waters yet. I haven't given them a try. But I think that, are those carbonated or no?
I'm not sure. I haven't tried them either. I've just seen them around.
Yeah. I think the big thing with these is that they are not carbonated.
Yeah. You didn't bring any graters, smoothie drinks?
Nah, they're still in the fridge. Got some of those.
They're expensive, $15 for four of them.
I know, but they were good, you know. We went to that wedding, had a good time, then we go out to these places afterwards and Song tried them. Was like, "Wow, these are amazing." But you couldn't get them anywhere. So,
yeah, kind of curious on if those would be, you know, since they're around, you know, $4 or $5 each at the store. They probably sell it for like $9 or $10 at a bar or something, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was probably like 6 or 7 at the bar.
Yeah.
Not sure if I remember. But I don't know. Some of those like craft places, like everything's $8 or $9, you know?
Yeah. So heavy. Heavy on your stomach and your wallet.
Got to make their money, you know? Respect the hustle.
But yeah, this past weekend, I had graduation party for one of my stepmom's kids at my dad's house, and just finished up high school and stuff, and you know, is getting ready for the rest of his life, and had a nice little party over there with cornhole, a couple games, some putter ball. They got a new game called bucket ball, which is basically just another form of beer pong, but with, you know, buckets and a rubber ball. It's kind of spread out a little bit further. A lot of fun over there. Sunday, went to Megan's brother's daughter. So I guess that's her cousin's? No, her niece's birthday party. Sunday night, and then, you know, had all the races and stuff that we'll get to then in the next segment, but you know, a lot of stuff going on there. Forecastle 2, I was hoping to get a couple people on to talk about their experience with Forecastle, all the good stuff that goes, you know, with that, what they liked about it, all that good stuff. We'll probably have somebody come on to talk maybe next week or sometime in the future about it, because that's a huge festival for the city, and it's been a couple years in the making with the COVID postponements and kind of seeing the changes from the lineups from the previous years to this year. It seems like it was more mainstream focused this year as opposed to years past, where it's more indie kind of artists that you would find on Waterfront Wednesday instead of leading a festival.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one you had, you know, Tyler the Creator, yeah, Phoebe Bridges, she's big. Jack Harlow, of course. Tame Impala is big. So a couple of mainstream people for sure. I think everyone had a good time. Haven't heard anything bad about, you know, the festival, so that's good. I'm curious on what next year's festival is going to look like too. If they're going to go more mainstream or tap back into their roots. I know Louisville's kind of big with the music festivals here, especially coming up soon. They got a wide range of, you know, different types of music with, you know, Bourbon and Beyond and what's that country one? Key to the Hall 2022 or something.
Yeah, I don't know. You're asking me things that are outside of my
There's like three big festivals that happen like back to back to back. But I know those are coming up here towards the end of the summer, and you know, get the concerts with that are associated with the Kentucky State Fair, and you know, big music scene coming up for sure. Did you pay attention? Or I know you were at the lake, so I know you didn't go. But did you watch any of the festival from people's Snapchats, Instagram stories?
I mean, you know, it was all over social media. I think that's pretty cool though, just because, you know, every now and then you'll see someone at a concert or something, but it's kind of cool when you see it all over your feed. I think, I mean, some people I know get annoyed by it, but I think it's kind of cool because, you know, like, oh yeah, it's happening in your city. So I think that's kind of cool. When we were leaving on Friday afternoon, we saw people walking down to Waterfront all dressed up in their kind of festival attire. So that was pretty cool as well. So that's mainly how I was keeping up with it. I had paid attention a little bit, like when they released the lineups and stuff like that. Like you said, kind of recognized more names than I had in some of the previous years. I didn't know if that was just coincidence or what, but yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've never really been to a music festival, so I'm kind of curious on like what the kind of like rubric is. Like, I know there's different people in different stages, but, you know, if you want to be, you know, kind of in the first couple rows for, you know, the main person that comes on, you know, 12 hours into the festival, are you just sitting up front, you know, on stage for the whole day and just kind of seeing whoever else is out there before your main guy, or if everyone's kind of bouncing around, going from stage to stage? That'd be kind of, I'm kind of curious on like what the whole, you know, blueprint is for those festival goers, like what the whole plan is to see everybody that they want to see, but also get good seats for
yeah,
they want to see.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how many people you want to see and stuff like that. Because if you do want to see a bunch of people, you're probably going to end up going around to the different stages, maybe being in the back. No big deal, though.
Yeah, from what it looked like on stories and Snapchat and stuff, it looked like everybody had a good time and City put on a good show. I remember passing it, you know, on the interstate going to Megan's in New Albany and kind of seeing all the stages and people out there and about. So it looked, you know, pretty cool. It's kind of surprising that they have it. I know it's right there on the waterfront, but it's on the waterfront next to like all the interstates, which is kind of crazy. I feel like the big trucks and stuff would draw out, you know, concert noise or whatever, but maybe not. Maybe that's not the case.
Yeah, I don't know. Emily's been several years ago. I'd have to ask her.
She's a festival goer?
I mean, she went to Forecastle, I think, a couple times in high school.
Dang. What was her attire?
In high school? I don't know. I don't remember what she wore yesterday.
Sheesh.
I don't know. Swimsuit, we were at the lake.
Jumping right into segment number two, we are talking races. And, you know, with Memorial Day, all the good things that come with that. You got lake season opening up. We had Forecastle that we talked about in segment one. But also on Sunday is probably the biggest day for auto racing in the world. We started off early in the morning, about 9. Had a bit of a rain delay, but, you know, still kind of early in the morning. Formula One raced at Monaco, their prestigious historic track located in the south of France near the top of Italy. Very prestigious, very high class, high roller area of the world. Tons of billionaires there. Lots of stuff to go around. We had not a lot of passing, obviously, because with Monaco, it is kind of a street course and the track is pretty narrow and tight. A lot of it did come down to strategy. A lot of teams were doing 2 stops. Some did even 3 stops, switching from rain tires to regular slick tires. And the strategy actually ended up putting Red Bull's team on top of the Ferrari team and ended up having them win the race with Sergio Perez. I know Charles Leclerc was pissed because he came into the pits when he probably didn't have to. That kind of bad strategy led to him going from first to fourth and then was not able to come back out on top from that strategy from going into the pits. But did you watch any of the Formula One race? What are your takes on it?
Yeah, so I watched the whole Formula One, you know, got ready, was watching my little pre-race thing like I usually do to start the morning, and really disappointed with the rain delay. You know, it's not like you know, NASCAR, they can throw on the wet tires and race in the rain. So I hated to see them postponing the start, things like that. I mean, I guess, you know, all in the name of safety or whatever, but I think, you know, the announcers and commentators and stuff were also kind of confused with some of the procedures that they were doing. They ended up delaying it, I think, a little over an hour, which I don't know. I think that's just kind of a bad look when you are starting the day off of a day full of racing. And then the race itself, I mean, yeah,
for a dry race the last however many years at Monaco, the winners come from the top three. So the only thing that's really going to shake it up is some weather being introduced, the way that these cars are around that track. So I wasn't mad about seeing a little rain. It did kind of throw some things in with the strategy. There was a little bit of drama. I don't know if you've seen it, about Alex Albon kind of holding up Charles early in the race, ignoring some of the blue flags. I don't know if they're going to talk about it anymore. Maybe some people will ask about it at the next media availability. But that could have kind of hurt his lap times, kind of cost him spots. But it did come down to strategy. And, you know, Red Bull got it right. So it was good to see Checo get a win.
Mm-hmm. And it was also, you know, kind of a rare occurrence where the time came into play with F1 too, because usually races are always under 2 hours, and when they start, you know, the race, that's kind of like when the clock starts. But they had a, you know, kind of another delay almost in the middle of the race, which kind of pushed what would have, you know, put it over the 2 hours. So instead of completing all 77 laps, I'm not quite sure how many they completed, probably around like 64-ish.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
Around there. So, yeah, so they went for the 2 hour time limit rather than the 77 lap event. So, overall, I mean, Monaco is, you know, a great, you know, part of the world, has, you know, a lot of history and prestigious in Formula One. Always great to kick off the morning, kick off the full day of racing with a prestigious event such as that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then next on the Sunday races schedule, we had the Indianapolis 500 at the Brickyard, located in Indianapolis. Did you actually have any friends or any family that went to the race?
Yeah, I had a friend that went to the 500. Haven't gotten a chance to talk to him about it yet. I'll be sure to ask him how it was.
Yeah, I think my mom and my stepdad actually went to the race and was out there all day tailgating, and, you know, had a hell of a time. I've actually gone to the Indy 500 once before. It was actually when I think Dan Weldon or Scott Weldon won like his last race, and then ended up dying in a crash later that year at like Las Vegas, which is like crazy. And we saw him, you know, win his last race, and then he died later that year. But ended up, you know, watching a little bit of the race. We had Jimmy Johnson, former 7-time Cup Series champion, racing in the 500, his first one. Had some strategy there at the end. He was never really in contention, but actually ended up leading the lap and was up in the top two with about 15 laps to go before he had to pit. So he was only up there for strategy reasons, but he's had a crazy, you know, week of practicing and qualifying, kind of brushing up against the wall, bouncing back, getting ready to race his full Indy 500, and didn't finish too well, but, you know, you live and you learn. We'll see what happens, you know, next year if he wants to continue that. He actually ended up crashing with about 8 laps to go and kind of caused for some drama there at the end with his teammate, Marcus Ericsson, who ended up becoming the second Swedish driver to win the Indianapolis 500. And, you know, they had a hell of a time at the end drinking the cold milk when it was, you know, 95 out in the middle of Indianapolis Memorial Day heat. I know that's the historic thing about that race, and when you win, you get to drink the milk or throw it around or whatever, but after, you know, being that hot car out in the sun for, you know, 3 hours, I feel like that'd be the last thing I would want.
I don't know. The adrenaline of winning, I don't care what it is. I'm going to celebrate, however.
Yeah. Did you end up any or watching any of that race as well?
So at that point, I guess it was after F1, we got ready. We went out on the boat. So I was following that one a little bit while we were out on the boat tied up. One of the people on the boats next to us, they had service that was going in and out. We were kind of following it on that. So I didn't get to watch it live, but trying to keep up with it that way.
Yeah, high speeds, you know, a lot of action, a lot of passing going on. It's kind of crazy, the draft that you can get with an Indy car, you know, going down that big straightaway. You see them go down the straightaways, and they're zigzagging, going back and forth, trying to break the draft from the car behind them. And they're just kind of like snaking down the front stretch and back stretch. So Indy always puts on a good show for the Indy 500. But, yeah, so we got the first two races out of the way. Had a little bit of a break in between the 500 and the start of the Coke 600 that actually ended up going from, let's say, probably around 6:15-ish to well past 11, 11:30. So it was over a five-hour race. But it is the longest race on the NASCAR schedule. It is – you know, back in the day, it was called the World 600. Now it's called, you know, Coca-Cola 600. So it is 600 miles, which is 100 more miles than any other race that they do throughout the season. So whether you were out on the water at the start or even in the middle, I'm sure you were able to catch a glimpse of it with how long it was.
Yes, we were. Funny thing, I guess, is that we were back by the time that it started. Watched probably the first 200 miles. Then we went over to a neighbor's house. We were watching game seven. You know, game seven ends. We come back to, you know, get ready to go into the hot tub or something. And we were watching, we were able to catch the end of the race. So it was a long, long race.
Yeah, long race for sure, but honestly, with how long it was, you know, sometimes, you know, races can get, you know, drug out. They can be kind of boring. But this was a perfect nightcap for all the racing today. NASCAR put on a hell of a show. I've seen, you know, different, you know, scores of the race. You know, Jeff Gluck puts out a poll every, you know, Monday after saying, you know, was so-and-so a good race? And at the time when I last looked at it, it was like 91% said yes, and only 9% said no. And I'm sure the people that said no are just Denny Hamlin haters that don't want to see him win. But I get that too. But, I mean, overall the race was awesome. It had everything that you want in a NASCAR race. Different strategy. People were, you know, making passes for the lead. There was, you know, a couple spin outs here and there, a couple big crashes, people jockeying back and forth. They were going basically four wide at the line coming to the white flag with one to go, and ended up wrecking and having to go into overtime and stuff. So ended up leading for a last lap pass for Denny Hamlin on Kyle Busch. And, you know, overall it was a great night. Of racing, great day of racing overall with all three series. All three series put on a great show, had a lot of drama, had a lot of, you know, things to look forward to, things that were exciting to watch. Definitely looking forward to seeing how the season plays out for all three series for sure.
Yeah. Thanks for I don't know that I have much to add to that. I think it was well said.
Perfect, yeah. And then with that, we can switch gears from our cars to taking jump shots on the court. You kind of mentioned before you watched a little bit of the Game 7 of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Miami Heat. We had a very close, very narrow series between them. As I said before, it went into seven games, came down to the last, you know, few possessions, and the Celtics ended up closing out in Miami with a final score of 100-96. Jimmy Butler had a chance to take the lead with a three at the end. Missed it. Celtics got the rebound, hit a couple free throws, and that was all she wrote. Did you end up watching any of that game outside of bits and pieces at the neighbor's house?
Well, I ended up watching most of it. It really seemed like, I'll just skip to the end. The Celtics saw that they had a, 12-point lead or whatever it was, and we're just going to kind of coast that till the end. And it just seemed like one of those classic, like, they were rooting for the clock more than they were, trying to score.
Playing not to lose, looked like, not yeah. playing to win.
Yeah. And it almost seemed like it was just going to be one of those classic, that's how they ended up losing. Luckily for them, they were still able to hang on, pull it off. I think this game showed just kind of how the whole series was. It was a couple of banged up teams fighting hard. I know early in the series it was blowout or whatever, but this showed kind of how they were battling, and pretty good game.
Yeah, solid game seven for sure. And then with the Celtics winning, they are going to face a probably fully healthy, minus Gary Payton, Warriors team, who's had multiple days of rest, versus a banged up kind of Celtics team that just had a well hard fought team against the Heat. So it's we got the Warriors versus Celtics in the final starting this week. I think the first game is going to be Thursday, and I'm hoping it's competitive, but I feel like if it's anything, it might be five games, because the Warriors is just playing with their food. I think if they get hot, at any point in any game, it's wraps. So do you have any last predictions for these NBA finals? I know we've had predictions basically every round because our teams keep on losing, but
hey, not my last one was Warriors over Celtics, so I think I get to stick with that. I think that the matchup-wise, I think the Warriors match up well against the Celtics, especially how they're banged up. I think defensively they'll be able to match up pretty well against what the Celtics do. They can play small ball. Draymond at the five, I think, can handle when the Celtics go small ball, put Horford in. And Robert Williams, I think he can handle them. I think Clay, you'll end up seeing him probably matched up with Tatum a lot. And then, I don't know, the Warriors, they kind of dabbled in the zone against the Mavs for a game, and they lost when they were doing that. So hopefully we don't see them mess around with that too much, and they just kind of stick to what they do well.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck in between a rock and a hard place, rooting for – I guess I'm not really rooting for anybody to win. I hope both teams lose, honestly. I got a beef with the Warriors, obviously. Being a Rockets fan, that's been the thing that's held back the Rockets from getting a couple titles. Back when we had, Harden and Chris Paul and our whole team there, probably should have at least one, possibly even two titles that I've seen, but Warriors take them away with piling on Kevin Durant and all that stuff. And then also with the Celtics, Rockets don't have any beef with the Celtics, but I do, just because I'm not a big fan of Boston sports in general. I'm not too fondly of the Red Sox, the Celtics, the Patriots. Just, I feel like they're all kind of snobby.
They're all one and the same.
Yeah. So I'm not really a fan of any teams up there. So I guess it's, personal beef versus personal and team beef. So if both teams can lose, obviously I'm rooting for that, but who knows?
I don't know. I don't have too much of a problem with the Warriors now that KD's not there anymore. I think
aren't those Warriors.
Even now, Steph is not as unlikable as he was a few years ago, Draymond, he's still as unlikable as ever, but, that's just one guy.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Only time will tell who comes out on top for the NBA championship. Jumping into segment number three, we end each episode the same way. We got our random question. We got a couple recommendations, and we always finish the episode with Tyler's quote of the week. But first things first, we got our random question. And Tyler, so you don't take my answer, why don't you ask the question first?
I'll ask you the question then. What was slash is your favorite cartoon as a kid?
Yeah, so you got all the mainstream cartoons out there. You got the SpongeBob. You got the, you know, Timmy Turner with the Fairly Odd Parents.
Those are all A-tier, you know what I'm saying?
A-tier. Mine was probably a little more, I don't know if it would, I would say it's grown-up cartoony, because it's definitely a cartoon for kids. But I'll go out and say my favorite cartoon character was Invader Zim. So a classic. It was Rick and Morty before Rick and Morty. I remember when Netflix, you know, kind of initially came out, when you had to get, you know, DVDs and movies in the mail because some things weren't on the streaming site, while, you know, some shows were. Invader Zim was actually one of the TV shows that was on Netflix that you didn't need a disc to watch. So I ended up running through that whole series on Netflix, you know, when I was probably 12 or something, you know, after watching it when I was a kid, and then finally getting to revisit it when I was, you know, 12 or 11 when I saw it again on Netflix. I'd say that's probably one of my favorite ones, and I like it too because I don't think it's many people's, you know, favorite cartoon, but it's definitely up there. It needs to have the respect of, you know, kind of being an A tier and S tier type cartoon for sure. A lot of kind of like dark, kind of like crude humor, kind of like clever stuff that I like, and very good story, very unique. Kind of wild that it's a kids show, even though, you know, it is made for kids. I feel like it's more probably teenage cartoon-ish if I had to give it a title, but I'd say that's my favorite. And did you have that one as yours?
I did not. Luckily, we have different answers. Invader Zim, though, that's a good one. I didn't watch that one too much. You know, a lot of times we had to come to some sort of an agreement with me and my sisters about what we would watch, or we'd have to, you know, take turns, something like that. So that one was a tough one to get an agreement on.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is Rocket Power. You ever watch that?
Yeah, I dabbled in it a time or two. I think I put, like, you know, Rocket Power, like Wild Thornberrys, like they all like kind of came on like back to back to back. And solid shows. I wouldn't say I dabbled into them a whole lot. I remember playing the Rocket Power computer games, though. So those were always fun.
Yeah, my favorite was there was an episode where Tony Hawk was in it. And I swear I used to have dreams about just like skateboarding. I mean, I've never gone to a skate park and skateboarded or anything like that. So my dreams, though, had me thinking that like I could be one of the group with that Rocket Power. So that was my favorite. All the wise words from Tito.
Stuff. Definitely a Saw Dude type of cartoon for sure.
Yeah.
I've never really gotten on a skateboard or anything like that either. So crazy how, you know, a little city kid favorite cartoon is, you know, something like that. But you don't really like relate to a whole lot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they would go like surfboarding, they would go like skiing and stuff like that. Like, I've never done that, but at the end of the day, you know, it was just like a group of friends in the neighborhood, and they'd get together and do stuff, and, you know, when I look back on my childhood, like, that's what I did a lot. You know, it was a group of friends in the neighborhood, and then we'd, like, get together and do stuff. So it may not have been surfing. We'd probably just, like,
shoot hoops or play a little football or something like that. Yeah, ride your bike around. Made you feel like you were a part of a group or something like that. So yeah. Rocket Power, though, that was my show. But, yeah, then you said Wild Thornberry. That was a good one. Rugrats, you know, if we're going to some of the early classics. Hey Arnold, you know. Were you more of like a Nickelodeon kid or a Cartoon Network or a Disney?
I probably kind of like switched off here and there, like different ages. I feel like when I was younger, it was probably more kind of Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon type. And then, like, as you, like, get into, like, preteen, kind of, like, early teen, probably more Disney with, you know, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, you know, Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, sure. Even.
Kim Possible. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, I think I would probably lean more, like, Nickelodeon, but my sisters were more Disney Channel, so. Yeah. We got a heavy mix of those. Cartoon Network, I mean, I liked that Ed and Eddie, but my sisters didn't.
Mm-hmm. Old Cartoon Network had some classics on it.
Had some classics, but
Codename Kid Next Door.
Codename Kid Next Door. I mean, that's one where if you're talking about a group of friends in the neighborhood getting together doing something, I mean, that's what you really wish you could be doing.
Make a treehouse. Everybody was wanting a treehouse back in 2005.
Man, we just climb trees and pretend like there was something up there.
But yeah, that's our picks. We will put it in the battle poll for this week, Invader Zim versus Rocket Power. Let us know what your favorite cartoon is. What do you got to say, Tyler?
I mean, let us know if we missed any. Because I really wasn't, you know, looking up a list or anything. I was just going off of what was coming to my memory. So let us know if we're missing something big that everyone was into.
Yeah, some classics for sure. But yeah, with that, we will go ahead and get into our recommendations. Tyler, since you were the gentleman first, I'll let you pick your recommendation for this week.
All right. Well, I'm sticking with the TV theme. TV show, if you're into some reality TV, been watching a little bit of Below Deck. You can stream it on, I think they were streaming it on Peacock. If you got cable or something like that, you got access to it. It's always on like one of the like Bravo or E networks or something like that. Some reruns of it. But it kind of follows a crew that kind of charters these mega yachts, and they'll have, you know, these, I don't know, a few day, 4 day, I don't know how long they are, but charters of these groups, and it kind of follows how they, you know, do all of the hosting for that, what they have to do to maintain the boat, all that, the kind of relationships between everyone in the crew, and then, you know, then they'll port and then let everyone off, and then, you know, a day later, bring on the next group. And I don't know, with reality TV, I can typically get into it pretty good for like a season, maybe two. Then it's time for me to move on to the next reality thing. I don't like watching like 8 seasons of it, but been pretty interested in the season I've been watching so far. So give it a try if you're looking for some reality TV.
Yeah, you're big into the reality TV, aren't you?
Well, Emily's into it. So when we're watching something together, it's something that, you know, you can miss an episode, watch the next episode, and not really feel like you missed too much.
Is it going to live up to the ultimatum?
I mean, the ultimatum was wild. I think my favorite was one of the seasons of Love Island UK, as far as the reality TV goes.
I don't think I ever dabbled in the Love Island.
Man, don't dabble into it lightly. There's like 50 episodes. They were crazy. I never watched any of the American Love Islands, but watched that one of the Love Island UK, and it was absolutely insane how many episodes. Like, you didn't feel like you missed anything from day to day.
Crazy.
All right. So what you recommending to the listeners?
So, yeah, I mentioned this before on a previous podcast, but I'm going to recommend Zach Bryan's new album, American Heartbreak. Now, it is a lengthier album than, you know, maybe your standard album. Like I've said before, it's, you know, about 34 songs, so it ranges to be about over 2 hours. But, you know, with that, it's not, you know, 2 hours of music, but only like 20 minutes of good songs. It is, you know, every song is, you know, top tier. He definitely put his heart and soul into the lyrics and into the playing of the music. And I could rattle off, you know, 4, 5, 6 different songs from the album that I would say are my favorite, but, you know, they can't be your favorite if there's 4, 5, 6 of them. So that's just how good and, you know, well balanced this whole album is. Definitely singer songwriter ish, something to, you know, kind of like, you know, he's very emotional with his songs, with his writing, and, you know, it's definitely something that's going to make you feel something. Maybe bring you back to a time in your life or thinking about a person that you've never met before. But, you know, well, great album. He has, you know, good projects in the past before, and this one is definitely living up to his potential for sure. And he kind of came onto the scene, you know, rather quickly. I know he's only had like maybe 2 other like 9, 10 song albums or like projects before, maybe like a live album with, you know, 4 or 5 different songs on there as well. But for this to like jump onto the scene, kind of make him become basically put him like in the top of whatever genre he's in, because he's not really country for sure, but yeah, you know, I feel like he might get thrown into that category. You know, it might be like more country adjacent, but it's definitely some Americana, some like singer-songwriter type music for sure. Great album. Love it. Would recommend to anybody. And if you haven't heard about him, you know, go look up some of his songs. They're definitely top tier for sure. Not your rap, hip-hop, not your pop country, or, you know, any of that mainstream stuff. But this is when you want good quality music. This is, you know, this is what you want for sure. Have you listened to him? Do you know who he is? Have you heard a song before?
Just from what you've been telling me. So I'll need to add it to my list. You know, it takes me a while to get around to music. I just don't listen to it a whole lot, but I'll put it on there.
Yeah, throw that in the rotation on your 5-minute drive to class every day. You might finish it before the end of the year.
One song a day, maybe 2 since I drive back home.
Yeah. But with that, that's our recommendations for the week. Let us know if you enjoy them, if you're going to give them a shot for sure. And we end each episode the same way. We got Tyler's Core of the Week. Tyler, how are you going to end us this week?
Well, you know, we were talking about a lot of different racing things. We were talking about F1. We were talking about IndyCar. We were talking about NASCAR. You know who this quote's from? It's from one of the only drivers to have won in all of those series. I'm talking about Ricky Bobby, a.k.a. Mario Andretti. He said, "If everything seems under control, you're not going fast enough."